97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Tiny bubble.
Tiny bubble. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman, who's still got a lay on over here. Did you know that?
Oh.
Aloha, Carl.
Would you like to share it with me?
Welcome back.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks to Ethan Bright for filling in last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Ethan did a great job.
Did you wear a grass skirt at all, Carl?
No, didn't wear a grass skirt, but I did get the flower lays, and I also got the wooden lays. Though, because they give you wooden ones now, so you can take them home.
You don't get splinters from that?
Well, no, they're polished.
Oh, I see.
They're polished.
The only reference, I've never been. My mom went to Hawaii, you know, when I was a little boy, and she didn't bring me. But the only reference I really have to Hawaii is King Kamehameha from the Brady Bunch when they went to Hawaii.
Remember that episode? I remember those episodes. I love those.
Because they took the little idol.
The curse of King Kamehameha. Mm-hmm. That was it, yeah.
Well, it was our 25th wedding anniversary, so we did a worldwide half the world. My wife's calling it the 25th silver wedding anniversary half the world tour, because we started in Orlando, Florida, seeing some friends of ours. They cooked us dinner, and we had a pool party, and then...
And you saw the soccer team.
We went to St. Louis City, and I was on television wearing my kit, because they had a penalty kick, and we were two rows behind the goal.
Nice.
That's
and
awesome.
It was fantastic. People were like, oh, I saw you on TV. I'm like, yeah, that was me. And then we came back for the Jonas Brothers. We were in St. Louis for 13 hours, saw the Jonas Brothers, and then flew at 4 o'clock in the morning to California, to Los Angeles.
Wow.
And we got Lansky's, like, point-to-point, so you don't have to get an Uber, you don't have to get a shuttle. You go right to the hotel. We walked out of our hotel and walked right into Disneyland. You go out of the hotel and you're actually in Disneyland.
And oh my.
It was fantastic, because normally the thing is about Disney World and Disneyland, Disneyland can fit in Disney World's parking lot. Because did you think Disneyland?
It's
not tiny. It's like Six
tiny.
Flags.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So, do you get free admission if you're wearing the Wookiee suit? Which you were.
I did not wear the Wookiee suit, but I did force my wife. Made us. Here's the outdoor portion of the show. She's like, "Oh, look, they have Daniel Boone's canoes," and I said, "It's 1,000 degrees in California heat. We canoed, paddled, our self-propelled around Tom Sawyer Island," and I said, just because of that, we're going to ride Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. We waited in line, and it was fantastic. But we did a dessert party at night.
Nice.
It was a good time. We did the Jungle Cruise. We were in California Adventure, and then we realized that Disneyland's open for another hour. So we did a midnight showing of the Tiki Room. So it was great. We did all things Star Wars-y and family. We were only there for 2 days. Had a fantastic dinner at Napa Rose. Then we flew to San Jose, and then from San Jose directly to Hawaii, Honolulu.
What a trip.
Got a car from rideshare service Turo to drive around the island.
Who was your travel agent? My goodness.
We did this
Nicole
ourselves.
Middleman.
Yeah,
Nicole was his Middleman. Travel agent.
I love her. And I thought Hawaii only has 3 highways, and we rode on 2 of them. H1 and H2, because I sent Mark the picture of Pearl Harbor. We went there the eve before the anniversary of the signing of the treaty at the USS Missouri. And so we saw the Arizona and we saw the Missouri, and there was a little bit of rain that morning.
There was a rainbow.
And my wife said, there's going to be a rainbow. And she 100%, my wife is right. And there was a rainbow. And then everybody stopped what they were doing, and they all took pictures of this rainbow, because it went from actually the Arizona to the Missouri. It was very awe-inspiring.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I was going to ask you, did you get her a gift for the 25th silver anniversary?
No, she got me the gift of bringing me along to this. And so
okay.
We saw the super blue moon that was over the Pacific Ocean, but because of the time difference, we saw it at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was great. And we also went to the Dole Pineapple Farm.
Okay.
That's in there, and like all the pineapples are made there.
Did you get like some fruity drinks there? Did they make fruity drinks?
My sister-in-law actually sent us money on Venmo so we could buy the pineapple drinks, and we did.
Aww.
And
that's nice.
I don't care for pineapple, but it was fresh, and they put some sort of plum sauce on it. I loved it because it was fresh and it was like, oh, they don't taste like this on the mainland. That's what they call it, the mainland.
Oh, yeah.
I also said, oh, look, a Hawaiian squirrel. It's not a Hawaiian squirrel. It's a mongoose with babies. And my child is like, there are no squirrels in Hawaii. It was a mongoose and they were everywhere. It was great to see. And the best thing that we did on the entire trip, sunset cruise across the Pacific Ocean, where we went snorkeling in the Pacific Ocean and we saw sea turtles, flying fish, and spinning dolphins.
Very cool. Now, what island were you on?
We were on Oahu. Everyone's like, before we were going, people said, you should go to Maui. And then the fires happened. They said, don't go to Maui. And then the day after we left, tourists, please come back to Maui. So the last thing we did was stargazing with a 600 times telescope. You could see Saturn and the rings. It looked so real it was fake. Or so fake it was real.
Yeah.
And while we were doing the stargazing, a shooting star goes by.
Wow.
It was a fantastic trip. And
Well, I'm glad you had such a good time. Was your trip impacted numbers-wise? Like, were the number of tourists less because of what happened in Maui? Had people canceled their trip at the last minute think it somehow was going to be affected?
No, nothing. None at all. And then we came back.
It's funny. Just talked to Jeff Fitter from Super Smokers Barbecue. They were headed to Hawaii, and they diverted their trip to Jamaica, I think, because of what happened there. But maybe they were headed to the same island. Maybe that
possibly
was the reason.
If you were headed to Maui, they were like not charging you cancellation fees.
Oh, wow.
And then when we came back, we drove my kid to college at DePaul in Chicago. So we did London House and Pizzeria Uno and even more things.
Halfway around the world tour. I can see why you called it that.
There and back. So it was fantastic.
So did you fly?
Congratulations.
Southwest is not half first class.
Oh, Southwest. Private. Okay. Didn't know.
Oh, no, that's considered private for Carl.
Yes.
Let's go with that plan.
Yeah, that's.
And quickly, we want to thank a whole bunch of people. The Sarahs, the Gessners, Adrian, Senator Becker, Tom for his truck, and our grandparents for helping us sponsor this trip. But you guys did outdoor
congratulations.
Stuff.
Thank you. And I hope you invite us to the 50th wedding anniversary, because I love free muscacholi.
And quickly, we want to thank a whole bunch of people, the Sarahs, the Gessners, Adrian, Senator Becker, Tom for his truck, and our grandparents for helping us sponsor this trip.
But over the weekend, Mark and I shot at two different sporting clay events, and I just want to compare numbers. Can we compare numbers right now? Because I just got me this new shotgun, Benelli M2, beautiful, my fourth time out. Mark, I did 56 out of 100.
Congratulations.
That is awesome. Of course.
I felt great.
Yeah. I mean, it was at San Luis Skeeton Trap. I went out to Straith Alban, which is a farm, a little club just across the river in St. Charles. And I was invited to attend. It was a American Cancer Society fundraiser.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
Which was fantastic. And took my new Benelli Super Black Eagle 3. And I only shot a 49. So Bo has beaten me with his Benelli.
But that's still a good score.
No, it's not. That's 50%. You want to be above 50%.
Oh.
So Kyle, the guy you were with, shot in the 70s, right?
77 out of 100.
That's our goal.
I was like, what?
That's the goal. You want to be in the 70s, preferably.
Screw you guys. Good for Kyle.
Yeah.
Here's the hook, though. I actually watched three instructional YouTube videos in my thought tub that morning before I went out there. So that made all the difference in the world.
I'm sure it did.
You're welcome.
Send those along, please. Clearly, Mark.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, coming up, we are going to talk about the brilliant leader in New Mexico who thought with a swipe of her pen and an emergency order, she could strip American citizens of their Second Amendment rights. A judge has just put the brakes on that. We're going to talk to Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio, when we come back right here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It was in the town of Griffin. The year was 83. How do you do, young fellow? And how would you like to go and spend a pleasant summer out in New Mexico?
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Oh, we love this weather this time of the year. It's perfect. My name is Bill Matthews, Mark Cox alongside, and Carl Middleman. We are going to be actually talking with Nicole, his wife, of 25 years about Constitution Week, which starts Sunday. But this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, and I was at a skeet shoot this past Monday, ran into an old friend that said he only buys his stuff, including like three suppressors, at Razorback Armory. So if you're in the market for a suppressor or anything else, hunting ammo, they got you covered. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com, and then head there just east of 270 on Manchester Road. Tell them Bo sent you in. All right, Mark Walters is from Armed American Radio, and we are here to talk about this latest development out of New Mexico. Welcome back to the show, Mark. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today, guys.
Yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, Mark, every time I thought the situation out of New Mexico must have been like a joke, like I woke up in a parallel universe, I would hear Governor Grisham open her trap again and more nonsense come out of it. She absolutely believed, even though nobody around her seemed to believe it, that she had the right to suspend our constitutional rights.
Just arbitrarily.
This story, guys, I think the biggest story that might eclipse this would be finding out Joe Biden's not suffering from dementia. Okay. I mean,
whoa.
This story gets bigger and bigger by the minute. I've covered it since it broke. Outside the three Supreme Court victories, that being 08 Heller decision, 2010 McDonald decision, and the 2022 Bruin decision, I think this is the biggest story and this is a bold statement, guys. And Mark, you've known me a long time. This is the biggest story I've covered, I think, in my entire 20-year career of doing this.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's just so bold, right?
I say that for a number of different reasons, yeah, because there are so many angles to this. Every single one of these Democrats, including the latest, the Attorney General, refusing to defend them in these cases of this flurry of lawsuits that she's been slapped with because it's unconstitutional, are all Democrats, and they're all saying the same thing I've been saying and that you've been saying and that we've been saying for our entire careers, that law-abiding people are not the problem. And when you look at Every Town for Gun Safety and Moms Demand Action, which is a really silly name too, by the way, when you think about it, and the Brady campaign and the Giffords, and they're all silent. Their silence is deafening because their entire argument, everything they've done for their entire existence, is being laid to waste by Democrats.
Yes, yes. You know, for people, just let me jump in here real quick, Bo. For people that have not heard the wisdom of Michelle Lujan Grisham, the New Mexico governor, here's a sample of it. Hit it, Carl.
Do you really think that criminals are going to hear this message and not carry a gun in Albuquerque on the streets for 30 days?
No. But here's what I do think. It's a pretty resounding message.
It's a pretty resounding message that you're an idiot.
We just need to do something. Let's take a listen to a quote from the Democrat Attorney General in the state of New Mexico. Moreover, even if the problem is properly categorized as a public health emergency, the data do not support the conclusion that gun violence in our community is attributable to otherwise law-abiding citizens exercising their constitutional right to carry firearms for protections outside the home. I agree with your assessment that responsible gun owners are certainly not our problem and have never been our problem. What in the world are you trying to accomplish then at Every Town for Gun Safety, Moms Demand Action, which is a really silly name too, by the way, when you think about it, the Brady campaign, Giffords, and the rest of them?
That's a good point.
But Mark Walters, our guest from Armed American Radio. But don't you understand, Mark, that she is basing this ban on a public health emergency because death is a public health emergency and she wants to stop it. Come on now.
Well, you know, all I can do is tell you that Biden appointed judge, okay, by the name of Judge David Herrera Urias, who is a Joe Biden appointee, is the one that issued the restraining order against New Mexico Governor Grisham's concealed carry ban yesterday afternoon while I was closing out the second hour of my show because it's unconstitutional and it won't pass muster. This is a Biden judge. So where's the White House on this? Screaming for gun safety and gun control and law-abiding. Everything they do attacks my rights and your rights as law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
We've been screaming for years it will do nothing to stop crime because we are not the problem. Well, lo and behold, good heavens.
Yeah, you know, we've got our own problem here in St. Louis, obviously, with a mayor, Tashara Jones, who calls for gun control. She wants to ban certain types of guns. She wants to usurp control from the state. And yet in private emails with her father and her political consultant here, she admits that they've got the strongest gun laws in America, in Chicago, and their violence is worse there than anywhere. So, in other words, clearly the laws are not what makes a difference. She admitted this in an email. You got the same thing going on all around this governor in New Mexico. Here was the sheriff from Bernalillo County out there surrounding Albuquerque. Listen to him.
I hold my standards high. And I do not, or never will, hedge on what is right. And I take my oath seriously. In reference to concealed carry and open carry, the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office will not enforce this segment of the order.
Love that.
While I understand the urgency, the temporary ban challenges the foundations of our Constitution, but most importantly, it is unconstitutional. My oath was to protect the Constitution, and that is what I will do.
Yeah, Mark, right. The law enforcement, the attorney general and law enforcement, neither one plan to enforce this, even if we hadn't gotten the stay.
Yeah, and you know, Sheriff John Allen's comments, I played his entire 14 and a half. This is how important this story is, I believe, that I played his entire 14 and a half minute press conference over a 2-segment period on my show a couple days ago, because everything he said, it's almost like he was hosting my show for the last 15 years. can't this guy be everybody's sheriff? I mean, look, we have constitutional sheriffs around the country. This is why the sheriff is such an important officer. Listen, this guy, the sheriff is the oldest constitutionally elected office in this country. The sheriff wields total control in his county or her county. And when you have statements like this coming from that powerful law enforcement officer, making it very clear that it is not my law-abiding constituents that are the problem and that we need to be focusing on criminals and holding people accountable. Again, I shake my head and go, okay, I'm glad he's a fan of the radio show. He clearly gets it. But you got to shake your head, guys, and you wonder what's going on at the White House when they are hearing these statements. What's going on in the Democrat National Committee? What's going on in the DNC? I mean, did Grisham even consult with anybody? Is this unilateral? There's now, talk. Maybe this is a trial balloon, because what she's just done, guys, is thrown out exactly what the Democrats want for us. And that's to lay waste to the Constitution and the Second Amendment. Well, they're now finding out that's not going to age very well. In fact, it only takes a few minutes for it not to age well, because the response was immediate.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear if anything happens with this U.S. District Judge Urias. Is he going to get a demerit from the White House? How are they going to communicate? if it boils down, when you think of major cities and crime rising, I just don't think of Albuquerque. I've driven through Albuquerque one time. It's a beautiful city, the way it's laid out. It's gorgeous. I just never thought. But this just shows you that that crime is rising in, even not giant cities like New York, Chicago, L.A., St. Louis. It's getting worse. Let's uphold the laws that we have and prosecute the criminals that are doing these crimes, instead of coming after the person abiding by the rules. They're abiding by the rules and they're driving the speed limit or close to it. It's time to enforce it and to back up, like this sheriff that just spoke. I mean, you got to do what's on the books now. It's like that meme that goes around. It's not time to rewrite the Constitution. It's time to reread the Constitution.
Yeah, and interesting. I look at this. I try to find some humor in this. Let's just say that the three of us got together on Friday night. You guys invited me up, and I said, sure, let's do it. Well, here's Mark and Bo sitting around, maybe playing some pool in the basement. We don't sit and decide to go rob a liquor store that day. Because, hey, do you guys have your carry permits? Well, let's go rob Joe's Liquors.
Yeah.
Right. Said no law-abiding citizen ever. Yeah. Throw some humor at this, because it's a riot to suggest that it's law-abiding people at all. And now you have Democrats in powerful positions in law enforcement and AGs saying the same thing. Really, really powerful stuff. And this story is developing every day, because I have a feeling, and you guys might disagree, but this woman's going to triple down again. Is she going to appeal? What's she going to do in this case? if she's digging herself a hole, she's never going to get out of.
Yeah. Mark Walters, our guest, host of Armed American Radio, armedamericannews.org as well. Great clearinghouse for the latest stories on, in this case, the assault on the Second Amendment. You know, here's what's interesting. You pointed out earlier, Mark, that there's been from every direction around her, including her fellow Democrats, her idea on this, her thought process has been rejected. Even from the media, and you would the organization right. You would least expect to hear this from was CNN. But she did her first interview in what she thought was friendly territory with Poppy Harlow, who's one of the left-wing hosts on CNN. And even Poppy Harlow took time to read to her the section of the New Mexico Constitution that applies to this. Listen.
New Mexico Constitution, I looked last night, Article 2, Section 6 says this, quote, no law shall abridge the right of citizens to keep and bear arms for security and defense. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way any incident of the right to keep and bear arms. Are you not in violation of both the U.S. Constitution and your state's constitution?
I don't believe that we are. And if that narrow reading of the Constitution, which has been tested in the state, we wouldn't have universal background checks. We wouldn't have a waiting period. We wouldn't have a red flag law. We wouldn't have prohibitions for straw purchases. None of those would have been deemed constitutional. And today, all of them are.
They were before
these
the Supreme Court
absolute right discussions.
That.
Fair, but they haven't been tested again.
They don't need to be tested again. The Supreme Court just ruled on it.
Yeah, this goes back to the heart of the Bruin. And I got to hand it to Poppy Harlow, who responded in kind and said, ma'am, the Bruin decision changes all of this.
Yes.
Just because it's been, look, let's go to New York. Just because Governor Hochul has been saying this for months and months in New York since Bruin. The Supreme Court just overturned a 100-year law on our carry provision. Because it was in effect 100 years doesn't make it constitutional, ma'am.
Right. Right. No, it's a good
point.
It's
been unconstitutional for 100 years, and you just lost. Now, this has major implications from New Mexico for states like New York. Look what they're trying to do. Wipe out the right to carry by creating sensitive zones everywhere so nobody can carry. These are all violations of the Constitution. I can hear the Democrats getting smacked all over the country with rolled up copies of the Constitution, guys, and it is music to my ears.
They need to unroll it and reread it. I don't know how this woman got into the governorship, but as we move forward, we've been seeing more and more mainstream media, all brands, coming down on Joe Biden and his White House and his appointees and Democratic politicians. It almost feels like it's a planned deal. You know what I mean? I knew she was she of course was caught on this one, but it seems like it's planned as it's unfolding as we get closer and closer and closer to the 2024 election.
Well, you know, that's a great point. And when you look at Biden's polling numbers going farther down the toilet into the cesspool of Democrat control every single day, you have to ask the question. And Mark, you just brought it up. The media, when you watch that 14-minute clip from John Allen, you don't see him being challenged on gun control by one of the media in attempt, not one, because they all knew it was indefensible and they were going to get smacked down based on the statements that he read.
Right.
And not one of them went after gun control. Bo, I think you're right. I think this is you're starting to see this shift. They want Biden out. If you look, 70% of Democrats think he's too old to run.
Yeah. I think it's planned.
Together, great question.
Well,
really good question.
Yeah, you know, and Mark, you and I have probably touched on this before in our 2A Tuesday segments on my show, but it was, I believe, check me on this, brother, it was during the Obama administration where they tried to take a run at the Second Amendment through emergency health crisis. They wanted
Obamacare.
Yeah, Obamacare. They wanted the ability to study this from the CDC as a health crisis so they could try to figure out a way to circumvent the Second Amendment.
Well, that's why when we were going through it, this is worth some longevity on air. I've been on air. I was on air since Obama's inauguration.
Yes.
So we covered Obamacare as it was moving its way through Congress from that very perspective that they were going to use health care to come after your guns. That's why many people have gotten hit with doctors. I know I did when I moved to Georgia, was looking for a pediatrician for my young kids at the time. Do you have any guns in the home? Right. People were getting that question. Wow. As if my guns caused my kids virus or norovirus, right?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, we knew that they were going to use the health attack, the healthcare attack, and that's why we were so hard on it. And we've been successful, guys. Look, we're winning this fight. I know it doesn't appear that way in the mainstream media, but if this last week hasn't shown you that our message has, in fact, resonated, wow, get your head out of the sand.
Yep, the hard work is continuing. Mark Walters of Armed American Radio, thank you so much for joining us again on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Heck, we might get a request for you to come back in the next week or two just to recap what's going on to this point anyway.
I would be happy to do it, yes.
Sounds good. Hey, Mark, tell people when they can listen to your show, please.
Every single day, Central Time, 3 to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, and on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. And you've got me covered 6 days a week. I'm on air talking about this stuff.
Keep up the fight, yep. Brother. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Mark Walters. Absolutely. There, Armed American Radio. He's right. We're winning.
Absolutely. It's got to get worse before it gets better, right?
Yeah.
Constitution Week begins on this weekend, and I think every American needs to have that, even if it's a pocket version of the Constitution, reread that thing. We're going to talk to Nicole Middleman from the O'Fallon Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Tell others not to go to the God-forsaken country they call New Mexico.
The first part of the Constitution is called the Preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare at hand, secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Feel like I'm back in fifth grade history class there, Carl. Nice.
I feel
our
like
Saturday
I'm
morning cartoons.
6 years old again watching Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for them. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews, Second Amendment Radio, and the Great Outdoors.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. What's up? Yeah, you know, it's fun because we're coming up on celebrating that. It's Constitution Week, and we want to make sure we get to our guest here. Very important guest. Head of the better half of the Middleman household, Nicole Middleman, is on the phone with us this morning from the Daughters of the American Revolution. Nicole, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for making time to speak with me today. And I am with the O'Fallon Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution here in St. Louis.
So, Nicole, what do you guys do, or what do you ladies do, excuse me, what do you ladies do generally throughout the year?
Well, the Daughters of the American Revolution is a patriotic women's organization, and we're more than 190,000 members strong in 3,000 chapters across the country and across our country and several foreign countries. And what we do is actively promote historic preservation, education, and patriotism. And we do this through commemorative events, scholarships, education initiatives, citizenship programs. And one of my favorite things is that a lot of people don't know, Memorial Continental Hall and Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. are owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution. And that is the largest group of buildings in the world independently owned and maintained by women.
Wow. So like when you go there, do you get like the super secret tour?
It's not so secret.
Oh, it's
we
not.
We give that tour when we promote it. We share it. But yes, yes. And we're very proud of it.
Oh, well, you should be. I mean, that's just fantastic. Well, I guess my next question before we get into Constitution Week and all that is, what, do you have to bring your papers to prove your connection if you join the Daughters of the American Revolution? Do you have to bring some sort of genealogy proof that you have some connection to someone?
Well, we don't bring it with us typically to a meeting, but to join the organization and to be a member, you do need to prove lineage to a U.S. patriot from the Revolution. Yes.
Wow. And your so your connection, Nicole, is to who?
I have three. I have Obadiah Taylor and Adjaniah Taylor and Conrad Krieger out of Massachusetts and Maryland.
Wow.
And Obadiah Taylor is also related to whom else?
The Taylors are related to former President Zachary Taylor.
There you have it.
Wow. And how did you find that out? Or is this just family stories that have made it through to you? Or was it one of these 23andMe things?
Oh, no. It is genealogy. And my grandparents were very, very active and very, very conscious of our heritage and our ancestry. And it wasn't positioned as optional to know.
Yeah,
they made sure, you know what? They made sure that family came first and you know where you came from. Long before 23andMe, I had grandparents that made sure I knew where I came from.
Yeah, I've got relatives who claim that we're related to Pocahontas, but I guess that wouldn't do me any good.
Ooh,
would it?
I've got a Unless weird Uncle Larry everybody talks about in our family.
Well,
that's it, though.
And every family has two sides.
Yeah.
You're going to be related to somebody. And I think if you go back far enough, we're all connected in some way.
Yeah, that's probably very true. Well, I think it's pretty cool that organization exists and all the great stuff to preserve our history. Let's talk about Constitution Week, though, for a minute. And what does DAR do to drive this? I mean, is this like getting involved in school programs or something else nationwide?
Well, DAR actually founded Constitution Week. In 1955, our president general at the time, Gertrude Carraway, adopted a project to promote the observance of the Constitution, and she used a memorial week beginning on the anniversary of the signing of the document on September 17, 1787, as the day to launch this. And that is how it began. The Congress received the resolution in June. The resolution was discussed by the Senate, and they decided to observe a whole week instead of just a Constitution Day. And then following the passage of that resolution, it was such a success that they introduced a resolution that it would be made an annual event. And after that, it was signed into public law in 1956. But what we know of it today was actually signed by Dwight D. Eisenhower, who signed it into law that there'd be an annual celebration dedicated to commemorating our Constitution because it's such an important document of our American history.
Absolutely. A living, breathing document. Nicole Middleman is our guest. She's from the National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution. So I'd like to pick your brain as far as, you know, throughout the year and throughout the decades where we hear of the climate of, you know, colleges and schools and the indoctrination. Do you feel pushback from either the educators or the leaders as you're trying to, you know, keep talking about the Constitution in your experience?
From my own experience, I've been the Constitution Week chairman locally for my chapter for many, many years, and I have found exactly the opposite. When I go to schools, I've gone to city schools, I've gone to several private schools, and they welcome the understanding. Is it a history lesson for all of our students? This is a bipartisan document. This is for every citizen. And as citizens, it's our responsibility to celebrate and keep our ancestors' legacy alive. So I have actually found the opposite is true. They want students to learn the history of our country and these foundational documents that are so integral to who we are as Americans.
Yeah, it's a great point, Nicole. I really wish there was more emphasis on it in schools. You know, what did I read the other day that they had, you know, like, for example, the state of Texas. I have some friends from Texas. To graduate from high school in Texas, you have to pass a test about Texas history. It's required. Now, obviously, we have American history courses through the course of our primary, secondary education. But
I think every student graduating from high school should have to be able to pass a basic test regarding the United States Constitution. We don't require that. I was at the ballpark the other night, and they actually had some people, immigration, naturalization, where they're doing a naturalization. Well, and it was fantastic. But, you know, I'll bet you the majority of those folks who had to actually study for that test know more than the average American, and that's kind of a sad testament.
I think you may be correct, but we used to have that. When I was in school, we had a civics class, and that we spent like a month studying some of these things that now, or for the Constitution, that they don't, I don't think is required anymore in the same way. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. And our current president general for the national organization is from Texas. And would love to. And our Texas daughters are very, very proud of their Texas heritage.
I'll bet they are.
And I think there needs to be some kind of test for everybody that votes, actually. That's
me part. Yeah.
Well, I mean, is that wrong? I think you do. You know, it's amazing. I actually was this many years old when I learned that many of the founding fathers were younger than 40 years old in 1776. That is just amazing to me.
A couple of them in their 20s.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
The first part of the Constitution is called the Preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare at hand, secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and our posterity do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Feel like I'm back in fifth grade history class there, Carl. Nice.
I feel like
Saturday morning cartoons.
6 years old again watching Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for them. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews, Second Amendment Radio, and the Great Outdoors.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. What's up? Yeah, you know, it's fun because we're coming up on celebrating that. It's Constitution Week, and we want to make sure we get to our guest here. Very important guest. Head of the better half of the Middleman household, Nicole Middleman, is on the phone with us this morning from the Daughters of the American Revolution. Nicole, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for making time to speak with me today. And I am with the O'Fallon chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution here in St. Louis.
So, Nicole, what do you guys do, or what do you ladies do, excuse me? What do you ladies do generally throughout the year?
Well, the Daughters of the American Revolution is a patriotic women's organization, and we're more than 190,000 members strong in 3,000 chapters across the country and across our country and several foreign countries. And what we do is actively promote historic preservation, education, and patriotism. And we do this through commemorative events, scholarships, education initiatives, citizenship programs. And one of my favorite things is that a lot of people don't know, Memorial Continental Hall and Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. are owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution. And that is the largest group of buildings in the world independently owned and maintained by women.
Wow. So like when you go there, do you get like the super secret tour?
It's not so secret.
Oh, it's
we
not.
We give that tour when we promote it. We share it. But yes, yes. And we're very proud of it.
Oh, well, you should be. I mean, that's just fantastic. What I guess my next question before we get into Constitution Week and all that is, what do you have to bring, like bring your papers to prove your connection if you join the Daughters of the American Revolution? Do you have to bring some sort of genealogy proof that you have some connection to someone?
Well, we don't bring it with us typically to a meeting, but to join the organization and to be a member, you do need to prove lineage to a U.S. patriot from the Revolution. Yes.
Wow. And your connection, Nicole, is to who?
I have three.
I have Obadiah Taylor and Adjaniah Taylor and Conrad Krieger out of Massachusetts and Maryland.
Wow.
And Obadiah Taylor is also related to whom else?
The Taylors are related to former President Zachary Taylor.
There you have it.
Wow. And how did you find that out? Or is this just family stories that have made it through to you? Or was it one of these 23andMe things?
Oh, no. It is genealogy. And my grandparents were very, very active and very, very conscious of our heritage and our ancestry. And it wasn't positioned as optional to know.
Yeah,
they made sure, you know what, they made sure that family came first and you know where you came from. Long before 23andMe, I had grandparents that made sure I knew where I came from.
Yeah, I've got relatives who claim that we're related to Pocahontas, but I guess that wouldn't do me any good.
Ooh,
would it?
I've got a unless weird Uncle Larry everybody talks about in our family.
Well,
that's it though.
And every family has two sides.
Yeah.
You're going to be related to somebody. And I think if you go back far enough, we're all connected in some way.
Yeah, that's probably very true. Well, I think it's pretty cool that organization exists and all the great stuff to preserve our history. Let's talk about Constitution Week, though, for a minute. And what does DAR do to drive this? I mean, is this like getting involved in school programs or something else nationwide?
Well, DAR actually founded Constitution Week. In 1955, our president general at the time, Gertrude Carraway, adopted a project to promote the observance of the Constitution, and she used a memorial week beginning on the anniversary of the signing of the document on September 17, 1787, as the day to launch this. And that is how it began. The Congress received the resolution in June. The resolution was discussed by the Senate, and they decided to observe a whole week instead of just a Constitution Day. And then following the passage of that resolution, it was such a success that they introduced a resolution that it would be made an annual event. And after that, it was signed into public law in 1956, but what we know of it today was actually signed by Dwight D. Eisenhower, who signed it into law that there'd be an annual celebration dedicated to commemorating our Constitution because it's such an important document of our American history.
Absolutely. A living, breathing document. Nicole Middleman is our guest. She's from the National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution. So I'd like to pick your brain as far as, you know, throughout the year and throughout the decades where we hear of the climate of, you know, colleges and schools and the indoctrination. Do you feel pushback from either the educators or the leaders as you're trying to, you know, keep talking about the Constitution in your experience?
From my own experience, I've been the Constitution Week chairman locally for my chapter for many, many years, and I have found exactly the opposite. When I go to schools, I've gone to city schools, I've gone to several private schools, and they welcome the understanding is a history lesson for all of our students. This is a bipartisan document. This is for every citizen. And as citizens, it's our responsibility to celebrate and keep our ancestors' legacy alive. So I have actually found the opposite is true. They want students to learn the history of our country and these foundational documents that are so integral to who we are as Americans.
Yeah, it's a great point, Nicole. I really wish there was more emphasis on it in schools. You know, what did I read the other day that they had, you know, like, for example, the state of Texas. I have some friends from Texas. To graduate from high school in Texas, you have to pass a test about Texas history. It's required. Now, obviously, we have American history courses through the course of our you know, primary, secondary education. But I think every student graduating from high school should have to be able to pass a basic test regarding the United States Constitution. We don't require that. You know, I was at the ballpark the other night, and they actually had some people, immigration, naturalization, where they're doing a naturalization. Well, and it was fantastic. But, you know, I'll bet you the majority of those folks who had to actually study for that test know more than the average American, and that's kind of a sad testament.
I think you may be correct, but we used to have that. When I was in school, we had a civics class, and that we spent like a month studying some of these things that now, or for the Constitution, that they don't, I don't think is required anymore in the same way. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. And our current president general for the national organization is from Texas and would love to. And our Texas daughters are very, very proud of their Texas heritage.
I'll bet they are.
And I think there needs to be some kind of test for everybody that votes, actually. That's just me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is that wrong? I think you do. You know, it's amazing. I actually was this many years old when I learned that many of the founding fathers were younger than 40 years old in 1776. That is just amazing to me.
A couple of them in their 20s.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Well, the life expectancy at that time was a little bit younger as well. So they did a lot more sooner.
Yeah, well, it's true.
That is true.
Yeah, so Constitution Week, the 17th through the 23rd officially. And take time out to have a conversation with your kids about it. I think that's important. Parents can play a bigger role in this as well, right, Nicole?
Absolutely. We're recognizing the anniversary of Constitution Week. And there's many, many ways that people can recognize this. Number one, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, that's unconstitutional or that's my constitutional right. A lot of Americans believe that sayings and phrases are in our Constitution that really aren't. So one way to commemorate it is to actually read it and become better informed and responsible citizens.
No way. Shocking.
What a concept. Yeah, that's great stuff. Thanks for being such a great American. And so if somebody wanted to join the organization, they need to know that they are related to a significant patriot or patriot's family. Is that right?
From the American Revolution. Yes, that is correct.
Honey, what is the website, please?
The website for more information about the organization is dar.org.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
How else can Americans help out?
Americans can help out by talking to their local government representatives about issuing a proclamation about Constitution Week. Personally, I've set up displays in local libraries and make an effort to reach out to other people who want to know about it and just share what I know personally. And we ask school principals in the community to issue school proclamations and encourage them to offer the study of the Constitution to their students. And there's also opportunities maybe to ring bells. I know there's a bell ringing nationally at 4 o'clock on Constitution Day, which is September 17th every year. They can hold events, give programs, put up displays, and do whatever they can to commemorate and inspire their community members to protect and defend the Constitution.
Well, it makes sense to have you on, Nicole Middleman from the National Society Daughters of the American Revolution for Constitution Week, because as we talk about every week on this show, the Second Amendment, one of our favorites. I believe every American family should have a copy of their Constitution right next to their Bible. That's my personal opinion. But thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you have a great week. Exciting.
Well,
all right, Nicole, thank you so much.
Stop by 1776 D Street and see our Memorial Continental Hall, which is in the same block of buildings with Constitution Hall. And it's the only building out there specifically to commemorate the Constitution.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And we'll market the secret handshake and the secret tour of the facility.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but he can make an effort to read the inscription. On the pediment, it reads, Constitution Hall, a memorial to that immortal document, the Constitution of the United States, in which are incorporated the principles of freedom, equality, and justice for which our forefathers strove. And this is important to everyone.
Nice. And I'll have a middleman with me, so maybe that'll make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think that helps.
Yeah. Nicole Middleman.
That might get you locked out.
Yeah, that's true. And she knows that personally. Yeah. Nicole Middleman, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Have a good day.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you soon. That's good stuff.
And what is that website one more time?
dar.org.
Bye, sweetheart. You're loved.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Yeah, they don't have Sons of the Star Wars Revolution, do they, Carl?
That's like the Rebel Alliance, Mark.
Oh, the Rebel Alliance. I should have known that. Yeah, that's good. Fantastic.
Awesome. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you around next weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.